Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. And saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said,
"They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him."
So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running. Run! But the other disciple outran Peter. This is good running. He bent over and looked, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels.
Women, what?
Can you say it together? Can we do it together?
No. Thank you, Lily.
Women, why are you crying?
They have taken my Lord away,
she said,
and I don't know where they've put him.
At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her,
Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?
Thinking he was the gardener, she said,
Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll go and get him.
Jesus said to her,
Mary.
She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic,
Rabboni,
which means teacher. Jesus said,
Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God.
Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news.
I've seen the Lord!
And she told them that he had said these things to her. Lord, please give Becca the right words to say and help us to be listening to what you have to say to us today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone, for that reading. So it's Easter Day, so I thought it'd be nice to have a nice visual to look at whilst I'm talking. So I've got some beautiful flowers here. Just get this out of the way and put my beautiful flowers on the table so you can all look at them whilst I'm speaking. Happy Easter. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Very good. It's Easter Day, and the atmosphere here in church this morning for most of us is one of joyful celebration as we declare that Jesus is alive. However, whilst these may have been our first words this morning, we began the service declaring that Christ is risen. They are not the first words in our Bible reading from John's Gospel. I don't know if you noticed that as it was acted out for us. Instead, John's Gospel invites us on the emotional roller coaster of events that are the first Easter morning. as Mary Magdalene encounters and responds to the history-changing, life-transforming good news that Jesus has risen from the dead. So John tells us Mary Magdalene's Easter morning began while it was still dark. Easter begins in the dark. And some of us experienced that this morning at the 6 a.m. sunrise service. But I don't know if you noticed that before. Easter begins in the dark. And so I've got these daffodils here. They're not actually looking that beautiful, are they? They're looking rather sad and lifeless. They've died, and no amount of light or water will bring them back to life. I'd like to say that I prepared these specially for today. I happen to have them on my windowsill from a little while back. This is where Easter Day begins. Easter Day begins in darkness. Jesus has been put to death on a cross and buried in a tomb. And this is all Mary Magdalene knows as she gets up on that first Easter morning. She's going to the tomb expecting Jesus' body to be there. As far as Mary and the other disciples are concerned, Jesus, who they had believed was their saviour and whom they had given up so much to follow, he had died. Easter begins in darkness. Sadness, anger, fear at what would happen to them as Jesus' followers now that their master had died. That's where the first Easter morning starts. And I wonder if we might have some actions. I think that's a thumbs down. Easter begins in darkness. That's where Easter starts. Until Mary reaches the tomb and sees that the stone has been removed from the entrance. If I gave the whole of my talk this morning with an empty vase on this table here, and I didn't give you any explanation, I'm sure some of you would wonder what it was all about. What kind of new rector have we got? My experience is that when something's not as we might expect, we look for explanations. Does she realise there's an empty vase next to her? Should there be something in that vase? Has someone left it there by mistake? We expect to see a vase with flowers on it, in it. Certainly on Easter Day, that's what we expect. And one of the reasons I didn't bring my props for this morning to church before today, I didn't bring those sad-looking daffodils yesterday, was because in a church full of wonderfully thoughtful and helpful people, I was worried that someone might throw them away. We expect flowers in a vase to be alive. Point made. Mary Magdalene didn't expect the stone to have been removed from the tomb. And she didn't expect the tomb to be empty. And so Mary and Peter and John, they look for an explanation. So Easter morning has begun in darkness, thumbs down. And now we have confusion and misunderstanding. So I think this is a good gesture for confusion and misunderstanding. What's going on? So what sort of explanations do they look for? Well, Mary assumes that somebody has taken Jesus' body. Then Peter and John, they run to the tomb, and they're confused by the strips of linen. If someone had stolen Jesus' body, they wouldn't have left expensive linen there. And their experience of people being raised from the dead, well, that was Lazarus. And when Lazarus was raised from the dead, he needed someone to take off his grave clothes for him. So Jesus can't possibly have been raised from the dead because, well, who would have taken off his grave clothes? This is where we're at in the story. Then along comes the angel, and the angel asks Mary, "Why are you crying?" And what the angel means is there's no need to be sad. Why are you crying? You don't need to be sad. But Mary thinks it's a genuine question. What's the matter? So Mary replies, that they have taken Jesus' body, and she doesn't know where they have put it. Then Jesus himself appears and asks why she is crying. And Mary, this time, she thinks he's the gardener and asks him where Jesus' body is. Mary, Peter and John, on that first Easter morning, are confused and don't understand. How many misunderstandings was that? 4 or 5? They didn't expect the tomb to be empty and they can't make sense of it. So shrug again, can't make sense of what's going on. And then the moment of understanding comes. Jesus says her name, Mary. And Mary cries out, "Teacher." But even at this point, it seems there is still confusion and misunderstanding. I don't know if you noticed this as we heard the reading. Jesus tells Mary not to hold on to him. Maybe Mary thinks that she must cling onto Jesus in case he disappears or leaves them again. Perhaps it's a little like me saying I'm going to cling onto these beautiful daffodils, and I did bring some beautiful ones as well. I'm going to cling onto these beautiful daffodils. I've discovered that Jesus is risen, but I'm going to cling onto them because if I put them in the vase, something might happen to them. Mary wants to hold on to Jesus, but Jesus wants Mary to tell the disciples the good news. And it's at this point that Mary, having seen for herself that Jesus is indeed alive, obediently goes to the disciples, as Jesus told her to do, and declares to them the good news that she has seen the risen Lord. The history-changing, life-transforming good news that Jesus has overcome sin and death is about to be shared with the world. I think that's a thumbs up. You might be here this morning feeling in a place of darkness or sadness, thumbs down, or a place of confusion. And there's space in our Easter celebrations for those feelings. But know that if you are feeling like this or like this, the good news of Easter is not primarily a joyful feeling. It's a person and a promise. It's Jesus' resurrection power, defeating sin and death and all that separates us from God, and giving us freedom, hope, and new life in him. It's the invitation to have a relationship with Jesus now, and the promise that there will be a time, if we trust in him, when there are no more of the things that make us sad, no more of the things that make us sad. When sadness is fully and completely transformed to gladness. Jesus' resurrection is proof that God keeps his promises. What appeared to be the greatest failure of all time, the Son of God dying on a cross. Remember those dead daffodils I had at the beginning. What appeared to be the greatest failure of all time was actually the greatest victory. And it means that we have the best news ever for sharing with the world. As we remember that Easter begins in darkness, which is followed by confusion and misunderstanding, before Mary finally recognizes and responds to Jesus, how might we today receive afresh, or perhaps for the first time, Jesus' resurrection power in our lives? I am really struck in that reading from John's Gospel by how the best news ever took Mary, Peter, and John by surprise. They didn't expect to find an empty tomb. Are we prepared for God to work in new and unexpected ways in our lives and to notice signs of his kingdom in unexpected places? and then to put the daffodils in the vase, and then to tell others that we have seen the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.